right. Welcome back to the second half of After News with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. When you vote in November, at the very top of your ballot will not be for president, because president doesn't run this year. Will not be a United States senator, because there is no United States Senate candidate this year. Instead, you will see three offices at the very top of your ballot. Those are the statewide offices. They're the ones leading the ticket. Last week, the Democrats had a friendly, harmonious travelogue state convention where they officially nominated their candidates for Indiana Secretary of State, Auditor, and Treasurer. The other side is having a food fight, I understand, up in Fort Wayne. But the Democratic candidates have spent all week all over the state. They got out of the capital city and went out into the real part of Indiana. Now they are here in our studio. Beth White, who has not been here all year because she has been busy visiting 92 counties around Indiana in support of her candidacy. She is now the official Democratic candidate for Secretary of State of Indiana. Mike Claytor was here a few months ago. He is the Democratic candidate for state officer, auditor. And the newest guy is Mike Boland. He is the Democratic candidate for state treasurer. They all joined me live. Guys, welcome.
Good to see you, Amos.
Thank you.
Let me start with each one of you, starting with Beth White. Beth, why are you running? I mean, you finished up 8 years here as county clerk. You could just be content to sit home and be a mom. Why are you running?
Because I love this process, Amos. The people of Indiana deserve better. We have made a lot of progress, as you know, in Marion County in making sure voting works for the people of this community. And I think the people all around the state of Indiana deserve that from a Secretary of State. We don't have that now, and I'm going to bring that.
Mike Claytor, why are you running for auditor?
Well, as a CPA, I get a little embarrassed by the fact that apparently the state of Indiana can't keep track of its money. So I dug my calculator out of my pocket, and I'm going to go around the state and make sure things add up.
So you can make sure that there's no money lying around on a mattress anywhere.
Well, I think they moved Governor Daniels' couch where they found the last $500 million, and we're going to make sure it's never hidden again.
Mike Boland, why are you running for state treasurer?
Well, I grew up in poverty, Amos, and I had wonderful parents, and education saved me. And I want to do that. I devoted my life to public service. I served as a public school teacher for 30 years, taught 25 years in colleges, was on my library board, school board, community college board, and served 16 years in the Illinois State Assembly. And now I have some ideas on how we can help folks who came from a background like mine and help them get up into that middle class as I was able to do.
Let me follow up on that. People are going to say, and maybe they've already said it as you all traveled around the state Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you haven't been a Hoosier that long, Mike Boland. Why should the people of Indiana elect somebody who's only been here a couple of years and you've been all your time in Illinois?
Well, for two reasons. One is the issues that I'm going to bring that I think can help bring jobs and help our students so they don't come out of college with an anvil of debt on their backs. And secondly, the fact that when I came here, I did not plan to ever go back into public service. My wife wanted me to retire. We did. Our grandkids are here. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here in Indiana.
Ah.
So you're
a grandpa hanging with the Hoosier grandkids?
They are Hoosiers all the way. We've been to the Colts games. Mm-hmm. I took them to that. Took them to the Pacers game.
You tore up your Illini sporting gear.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when I started looking around at what was happening here, I thought, these guys are trying to drag us backwards. Mm-hmm. They're stagnating the state, and they're not happy with that. They want to drag us backward. I had a great career. I was a recipient of 36 different awards, everything from agriculture to veterans, mm-hmm. Folks who help mentally ill, and those who are disabled.
Right.
All those things. And I had a great public service, but now I think I have more to contribute because, the latest thing on Indiana is that we're number one, all right. We're number one in poverty jobs. Mm. Now, we don't need that. We need to be number one in good-paying jobs.
But if you have good-paying jobs, you're paying more in state income tax, and that's more money going through the state treasurer's office and more money that the auditor's got to audit.
Absolutely.
Let me ask Beth White. We all know where you are and stand on the election part of the Secretary of State's office. What are the other duties of the Secretary of State's office, and what would you do differently about those than the current Secretary of State?
Well, first, there's the Securities Division, and the Secretary of State is supposed to be enforcing securities laws against people who victimize investors. And I say supposed to because I don't think we're doing a very good job. I've been a lawyer for 24 years. I was a prosecutor early in my career. I understand what it means to fight for victims, so we can do better there. In addition, the Business Services Division of the office, which is a clearinghouse of all incorporated businesses, for-profit and not-for-profit. We need to do a better job of making sure that information is available to people who want to start a business. And small businesses, as you know, are the economic engine of any economy. And we need to do better. I have worked for Bart Peterson. I worked for two governors, a prosecutor, and a congressman. I understand how to navigate government. I can do better for the people of Indiana.
Should there be something in the Secretary of State's office because, you know, a small business may register with the Secretary of State's office, and that small business person, an entrepreneur, gets bogged down and busy with entrepreneur, and they may forget that after a year, two, three, five, you got to renew your thing with
right.
the Secretary of State. Do they currently have a thing where they remind you or send you something and say, in 3 months, your thing to do business will run out. Please remit. Is that an improvement you could do if you're elected?
Absolutely. I think we need to use technology more effectively. You know, young people coming out of college now want to start their own businesses. And they are completely web savvy, right? They want a website that allows them to search by year and county of incorporation. We can't currently do that. There ought to be a way to. We can't.
You can't?
You cannot.
This is 2014.
Well, that's right. So we've got to use some technology in a better way. And I think there are things to do to improve that process for the business people of Indiana.
Mike Clater, I always get confused with what a county auditor does and what a state auditor does. What does the state auditor do?
Well, the state auditor is the chief financial officer of the state. It processes all the payments for the state of Indiana. It also oversees the county auditors and county treasurers.
So you pay, if you're elected, you pay the bills.
I pay the bills, and we also oversee the property tax collection that the county auditor and county treasurer perform.
So you're the check on the auditor, making sure they do what they're supposed to do.
Right, and that the money goes to the school and township and the right unit of government.
What would you do differently than the current auditor, because there have already been three auditors in the last 8 months?
Well, technically there have been five.
Because there have been five?
There were two acting auditors in between the times they actually got auditors appointed.
Okay, so you bring some stability.
I would love to bring some stability. You know, the changes in state offices, the people Beth and I are running against, those offices got open either because of a conviction or a lack of conviction of staying in the office. And we want to have that stability in government, have the processing of those payments go correctly, the checks and balances on the payment system in the office operate so that the right amounts are being paid, they're being paid promptly. The state of Indiana has paid thousands upon thousands of dollars in late payments because bills have not been paid on time,
Is it that they haven't been paid on time because they were trying to play the float or trying to be slow? There were cash flow issues, which sometimes happens in business. You're holding up the bill because you got to wait for somebody to pay their taxes on time. Was that it or just sloppiness?
The issue is that when the auditor is going to make a payment, mm-hmm. they get a packet of paper from a state agency. Okay. Some of the state agencies, they'll get a computer tape. But there's no imaging system that would allow immediate transfer of documents from a state agency to the auditor state's office. We've got a paper system, and then the computer system gets the information.
You mean to tell me that in my bank sends me a picture of all my checks? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a paper check in a gazillion years. The state doesn't do that?
The
my bank does. My little bank doesn't.
The state loves paper. So we love to process things on paper. We need to get in the 20th century, let alone the 21st century.
Mike Boland, what does the state treasurer do? In other words, if the auditor is paying the bills, that means the treasurer, what does the treasurer do if the auditor's paying the bills?
Basically, the treasurer gets the money in and then deposits it in various institutions, banks, credit unions, whatever. And there's a tremendous power that the state treasurer can use that our current treasurer is only using in one little regard. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that we can create jobs and help folks start little businesses. Right. And that is what you call linked deposits. And what you do is you say to a bank or a credit union or some institution, you just say, we will put a certain amount of money in your bank. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, you will give a lower rate of interest for veterans or women or minorities who want to start up a business and maybe can't qualify in the normal whatever the bank charges.
Leveraging the billions of dollars we collect.
Absolutely, for power. Mm-hmm. For power, we can do this. And we can do the same thing to help our young people get out of school without having that anvil of debt. Again, we can just say to a bank, look, if you'll give a lower rate of interest for college students, we're going to put a certain amount of money in your bank. And the other big power that I see in the treasurer's office is that in the college saving program, we need to get out more into the community and really publicize it.
That's that 529 program that the current state treasurer, Mr. What's that guy's name?
Murdoch.
Mr. Foot in His Mouth. never has marketed to the African-American community. Never marketed to the 600,000 African-Americans in the state.
Absolutely, and that's just plain nuts. I mean, I'm a participant in that with our grandkids, and everybody should that can. And the way you do that is you actually go out. The treasurer goes out and gets in the churches, gets in the African-American churches, gets in the union halls, gets in the social service agencies and libraries, and publicizes this program, make sure everybody knows it. If we have to, what I'll do is I'll hire some unemployed young people who can walk those long streets and tell them to leaflet neighborhoods so that we actually know that program's out there and they can qualify and they can help their family members get that college education that's often that step into the middle class that helped me.
We're talking with the top of the Democratic ticket for the 2014 election, Beth White, the candidate for Secretary of State, Mike Leder, the candidate for State Auditor, Mike Boland, the candidate for State Treasurer. All the people you're running against have never been elected before. The Republican Secretary of State was appointed after Charlie White messed up. Mike Leder, you're running. I don't even know who the state auditor is this week. I honestly don't. I remember the last guy who mysteriously disappeared off the face of the earth, and a nice African American brother, nice brother, just disappeared. So there, and then the state treasurer. I understand Mike Boland. There are three Republicans running for state treasurer, and all three of them got more baggage than is in the bottom of a Southwest Airlines jet. What is the deal?
Well, like I said, they're a crowd that is trying to stagnate the state and not happy with that. They want to drag it backwards. As you said, we got two of them with big, big bags, bigger than that suitcase there, that they're hauling, that they got all kinds of problems. You know, we got one guy who's a favorite of the Tea Party. We got another guy that actually I was in his community. We went to a UAW retiree hall, and man, everybody in there don't like him as the mayor. Hmm. Now, if they don't like him as the mayor, that's the people who know him best. What's he going to be like for the state?
Let me ask you, you all literally traveled in the main communities of this state. You all were nominated here in Indianapolis on Monday, and you did something unusual. You didn't do a press event in Indianapolis. You got the heck out of Dodge and went out in the real estate. What kind of reaction were you getting from the media in other state, in other parts of our state, and from people, not just Democrats, but independents, Beth?
Well, it was wonderful, actually. We had a great reception from the people of this state. We were in every single corner of the state, in large communities and small, in Republican strongholds and Democrat areas as well. One thing I would say about the media outstate is they are not as engaged in this election as we see in the central city. And it's a little bit discouraging. You know, I know, Amos, that I've been on your show lots of times over the course of years, and you pay a lot of attention to what goes on with elections. But in some parts of the state, we just don't see as much attention to these issues. And so we, as the ticket and the party, have got to start talking about the issues that matter to people.
What are the issues? I mean, you all have talked, the three of you have talked about what you all would do if
right.
elected.
Right.
But you guys are at the top of the ticket, Mike, Beth, and Mike.
Yes.
What, or Mike, or Beth, Mike, and Mike, however y'all gonna figure this out. What are the issues? First of all, there are a lot of Democrats listening who may be dispirited, downhearted. They know that, Andre Carson's at the top of the ticket, but Joe Donnelly's not on the ticket, the president's not on the ticket, Hillary's not on the ticket yet.
right.
They feel discouraged. Why should, first of all, Democrats get up off their you-know-what and go vote in November?
Because, and Mike Boland said it, that the Republicans are trying to move us backward. This is a Republican Party in disarray. They're in disarray for all kinds of reasons, and they're not moving the state forward. Our governor is too busy running for president than paying any attention to health care for low-income Hoosiers, for moving our economy forward with good-paying jobs where you can support your family. We have got to stand up and say this legislature and this governor's administration is not serving the people that, they're supposed to be serving. And those are the things that people care about, economic issues, public education, moving the state forward.
I think I'd like to add, Amos, just the supermajorities in the legislature, the fact that Glenda Ritz is the only Democrat official in the state house on a day-to-day basis. The Democrats that are sitting there complacent are letting that happen. We've got to get out the vote, because we won't tomorrow have Democrat control of the state again. It's just not going to happen, but we can get it over time. Mm-hmm. But we can't get it if people are going to sit at home on election day and not get out there and vote.
Amos, I call this in 2012, that was kind of our breakthrough election with mm-hmm. Donnelly and Glenda Ritz. Mm-hmm. And I call this our follow-up election, where we're going to get three of the statewide offices for Democrats. And we can do positive things for folks in those offices. And then come 2016, we want everybody listening, if you want to run for office, you get out there and run for office, because we're going to sweep this state. This is going to be our landslide election with Hillary at the top, and we're going to do this.
As you all have went through the state and talked to folks, is there, you know, a feeling that, first of all, yeah, on paper, the unemployment rate is down, but do people feel it? Do people feel that things are turning around in the state?
I think it depends on who you're talking to. You know, I think that this economy recovery is really a tale of two Indianas. I think that there are certain parts of Indiana. We were in Lafayette yesterday to finish the day. They just announced a great jobs announcement with this new GM plant. There are some, you know, Kokomo is coming back. But you go to other parts of the state and you see that the recovery has not come to them, and that there are people doing all right, and then there are people really struggling. And I think that the government in Indianapolis specifically, our governor, is not paying any attention to those people who are struggling. He's playing politics with health care. He's playing politics with job announcements. And, you know, I'm tired of it. People deserve better from this government.
You guys were probably still in the car, in the van, and really didn't, you know, hear the impact of Superintendent Ritz saying that the federal government, the state, the U.S. Department of Education says, no, we have to give the brand new I-STEP test on the new standards next spring, come yeah. heck or high water, which right. forces students and teachers to have to do the impossible, retrain kids, retrain themselves on a test that everybody knows the scores are going to go through, not the roof, they're going to the basement, to the sub-basement. Is that a sleeper issue that all of a sudden parents could start waking up in August, September, and October, all for close to an election? You know, Mike Boland, you taught in the classroom.
I'm an educator through and through. My whole family are educators.
What did you hear, feel when you heard that?
Well, I think that's just plain crazy. I think we're going in a crazy direction where we're spending so much time in the classroom with testing instead of really getting and using that money for the things that can make a difference in kids' lives. You know, smaller class size, getting elementary school counselors. When I did my master's work in Arkansas, the governor down there, Dale Bumpers, later became a U.S. senator previous to Bill Clinton, he promoted elementary school counselors in every school so that they can catch kids if you have a reading problem, if you have a social problem of some kind, catch them early, because it costs a lot more if you let them go through. And as some kids that I taught, you know, didn't know how to read or write by the time they got to my grade. So we need to start putting the emphasis where it'll really make a difference in kids' lives, and not just this kind of thing, and not try to corporatize our public school system. I'm for all education, from preschool to graduate school. But public education has to be our number one priority, and our number one priority in public education has to be those kids who need the most help.
Mike Clater, you brought this suitcase in here that you held up, and John Gregg, who I thought was just going to be sitting quietly on a beach down in Knox County, now all of a sudden he's making rumblings about borrowing that suitcase in 2 years. This issue where it seems like Governor Pence is making more trips out of state than even Governor Daniels did at this point 4 years ago. Or Hoosier starting to take notice and saying, wait a minute, because I think the tradition in Indiana is, yeah, maybe you look at running for something else in your second term as governor, not in your first term.
Well, and I think that's exactly right. I think this governor decided day one he was back in the state to run for president, not to be governor of Indiana. And we're making a little fun with this little traveling suitcase showing the places he's been, in terms of just asking the question, are these expenses for the benefit of the state of Indiana, or are they a political campaign expense for running for president? And right now, no one's watching the store when those travel bills are being paid. Are those things being paid from the state? Mm-hmm. And I'll guarantee you they are, mm-hmm. or they're being paid from a campaign finance fund. And we think the governor needs to be held accountable for being the chief executive of our state, not our chief candidate.
In terms of the financial stability of the state, people are always saying, okay, we had a surplus, and then we didn't. Now we have a surplus again. We don't know whether it's going to go away. We keep going up and down in terms of, are we hitting our budget projections in terms of it seems like the state is still in a precarious financial condition. Clater, would you agree with that?
There has only been 1 month this year that the state has actually hit its revenue target, and that's after they reduced the revenue targets. Mm-hmm. So we know the money's not coming in the way it should be. We're bragging about having a surplus when one in four of our children are living in poverty. And I've likened that to a parent that might come home and brag about money in the bank while the electricity's being shut off and the children are starving. It just makes no sense that we keep cutting corporate tax rates when our money's just not coming in the way it should be, and we're not paying for programs we should be paying for.
Beth White, the current Secretary of State, sent postcards out. This was an appropriated expense.
Yes.
Postcards out to, everybody on the voter rolls, and I guess another group of postcards is going to go out to the postcards that came back. Given that I think everybody realizes that there's a lot of duplication in the voter rolls, would you be handling this differently if you were Secretary of State?
Oh, my Lord, yes. This is a failed rollout and failed leadership on behalf of the Secretary of State. List maintenance is important. We need it. You and I recognize that. It needs to be handled in a way that is transparent and out in the open. I got my postcard in the mail late last week. It was on Saturday. I am the clerk of the largest county, 648,000 registered voters in my community. I got a memo from the Secretary of State 5 days later telling me what my talking points are supposed to be.
Oh, wait, so you got the postcard before you got the memo.
That's correct. This is
ridiculous. Did you hear from other county clerks about
that? Oh, yeah. People were hot about it. Look,
she's a former county clerk, I thought.
You think she would know better. There is no question we need to do this. It's the way she has done it. It's confusing. It's giving people panic about whether they'll be removed without their knowledge. We got to do better, Amos. There's no excuse for it. And people are frustrated about it, and they should be. $2 million of my money and your money being spent in a way that's just confusing people.
Oh, wait, it was $2 million?
Yes.
Ooh. And that's money,
That's some potholes.
That's the type of savings that I think all of us are interested in doing in state government, so that we can use that money for what it's really needed for. Mm-hmm. One of the dangers of what you brought up in a previous question is the way that the governor and the state legislature are undercutting our local governments, the funding for our local governments, our school districts, our townships, our cities and counties. And that means less services. That means people being laid off. All kinds of problems there. That's not the direction to go. I worked with people who relocated plants and what they look for. They look for the quality of life. That's the number one thing they look for. They look for your schools, your infrastructure, your streets, your parks, that kind of thing. That's what they're looking for because that's where they want their employees to be.
Is the issues of persons got a son that's got an interest in something before the legislature and their dad was a big who's it on the committee or that big plant down on the Ohio River that's supposed to do energy and friends of the previous governor. Are these things of that don't pass the common sense Hoosier smell test out in the real world? Are those potential issues the three of you will be talking about between now and November?
I think it is. I think what we need to talk about is a Republican Party that is not only in disarray, but is disserving the Hoosier population as a whole. One in four children living in poverty, there's no excuse for it. And the Republicans are taking care of each other, their families, their children, their friends, but they're not taking care of the average Hoosier, and that's something that we've got to start talking about.
Let me go to Tim right quick with Mike Bolin, Mike Clater, and Beth White. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing? Fine. Everybody forgets that Lincoln was a Republican that freed the slaves. And also, I got a piece of trivia here for you. In 1957, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who wrote the original Civil Rights Act, LBJ gutted it because he was a powerful Democrat from Texas. I don't know what you understand about
Hold it a second, Tim. Oh, Tim is a chicken Republican, not willing to stick around and answer a simple question. So why isn't Treasurer Murdoch, who is of the party of Lincoln who freed the slaves, then why does Treasurer Murdoch refuse to tell African Americans about a positive program to allow them to save money for college, Tim? Tim didn't want to stick around. Tim didn't want to stick around and answer that question. Why is it, Tim, a Republican administration under the previous administration allowed a Caucasian to be listed as a minority, owned business? Tim, that doesn't sound like the party of Lincoln and Eisenhower. But see, Tim chickened out. Anyway. But we love you anyway, Tim, from whatever rock you came out from under. Obviously, this is going to be one of those elections. As our standard closing question with every candidate, we'll start with Mike Bolin. We'll see how on day six of his campaign. If people want more information about your campaign, he is the Democratic candidate for treasurer. How do people get a hold of you?
Just go to Bolin for Indiana. gmail.com if you want to email me. Bolin for Indiana is the website.
Okay.
If you really want to get personal with me, you can even go to my personal home email, which is BolinMikeJ@gmail.com.
And that's Bolin, F-O-R, Indiana.
Yes, Beth.
All right, sometimes they get confusing. All right, Mike Clater, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I think I'll try to confuse the issue because mine is www.clater4auditor, but it's C-L-A-Y-T-O-R, the number four, auditor, AUDITOR.com, and email is Mike at claterforauditor.com.
And Beth White.
BethWhite.org. BethWhite.org.
That's
what I've been.
That's really simple.
I've been that forever and ever. I hear the music. We're going to commercial.
BethWhite.org.
Thank you.
Beth White, the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. Mike Clater, the Democratic candidate for State Auditor. Mike Bolin, the Democratic candidate for State Treasurer. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll open the phone lines, find out what else is on your mind on this first Thursday of June. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.